Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now our hostesses, Jen and Sherry.
Hello, welcome to Lighten Up. I am Jen, and I'm going to let Sherry come on the air and say hello. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning.
Oh. Hi, welcome to the show. I am having the most wonderful view at this very moment. I am watching a bird flit around my office window as it tries to find a home for its nest. It has been like checking every nook and cranny of the eaves. I'm just watching it in awe. It's been the kind of a nice little peacefulness as I go, what a lovely start to the show.
Very sweet. Choosing gentleness today is always good.
Absolutely. Yes, choosing gentleness is great. And as we have had a crazy week, it's really nice to be able to come on the show and talk about the topic and just kind of ease into it. I think that this particular topic, when it started, it came in under the radar and kind of caught us off guard. And that was, on 064? And so here we are at 068. And the topic has rolled on. It has continued on because there's so many different aspects of it, and yet who would think there'd be so much to talk about when it comes to jealousy, especially when we're talking about jealousy not from a place of blame.
Right.
Who would have ever thought that we could have talked about it so much? But we are, and today, as we were, you know, sharing over coffee and conversation, we came up, I don't know if it was more awareness. I think it is just a different facet of the awareness about jealousy. And I'm going to tell you, I got a sneeze that's driving me crazy.
Okay.
It might come on here. I'm like, so if I mute myself really quick, you'll know why.
Okay.
But go ahead.
No, go ahead. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, what we were talking about was, I said something, I don't even remember how I said it, and then you kind of start talking about your seeking attention, which we've talked about on shows, from others drove jealousy and kept you distracted from the attention that you weren't giving yourself.
Right.
Which is totally what came up for this show, which is why jealousy is a great distraction. Jealousy is a wonderful distraction if we are looking for one. It is a messenger that says, hey, something's off. It's a wonderful messenger that says, why are you comparing yourself to over there? How did you get distracted out there? But the distraction of what it's distracting us from, I think, is more juicy. And I really wanted to kind of direct the focus of the shows. Okay, we got it. Jealousy, we see you. Got it. You're a messenger. Fabulous. Now, I really want to focus on what is it distracting us from? What is it that we're avoiding by staying in jealousy? And, you know, you kind of volunteered to be the guinea pig for this topic, and it rolled through a number of shows. And thankfully, we've had other callers call in as this week has unfolded. And, you know, I so admire the bravery of the callers who have called in and the courage to show up and just speak the truth about their own dynamics with jealousy. But what does this bring up for you as we talk about this aspect of it? What is it that jealousy, how did it distract you from your own aliveness, your own magnificence?
Well, I think you mentioned it straight away. And that is that it takes the attention off of me. So very bullet point outline, I talked about getting attention from family, and I needed that attention, jealousy. So I would go external to find the attention when all actuality I need, or I was distracting the attention on my needs and myself. So it brought about the awareness that I, instead of going within, I externalize it and seek outside attention when I need to pay attention to myself. The truth of the matter is I need to put attention at myself. And this shows up, this shows up in I'm always putting other people first. Oh, no, you take that. And I think we've said a little bit about that in another show, but, oh, you take that. I'll take the last thing. When I'm not giving myself the own attention. Also, I can go to my mind to make a story. I can't remember how you said it this morning, but it was so, it just hit home of, you know, I can go up into my mind and create a conversation about it. What I'm realizing, I can create a conversation conclusion about it. And if I just say, what about the situation has me going to my mind to create a conclusion or a story about it? What is it that I need for me? What kind of attention what attention am I seeing? What of my needs? We talked about survival. What about my needs aren't getting met by me?
Because, I mean, it started out very innocent as a child. You had needs that needed to be met. It just happened to program you to seek those needs fulfilled from outside sources. For whatever reason, and it's not about it being shame on you, it is absolutely like, oh my gosh, this is totally a childhood pattern. I'm playing out as an adult. And because I'm aware of that now, I can make a change. And so we don't want to dwell on that. I really strongly do not want to dwell on where to come from and whose fault is it, da da da. No, it's you that's keeping it going. Let's get accountable right off the bat. And that's pretty much one of the number one things that gets me is get accountable. And what that means is, are you able to account for your situation? Not for the actions of another person, not for who you can blame, but, you know, when we talk about jealousy, it's so easy to go to a romantic relationship and say, well, I'm jealous of so-and-so because they betrayed me and they did this and they did that and I don't trust them and da-da-da-da, and this is why I'm jealous. And no matter how many times I say it, there's still an opportunity to say it again. That is a cover-up. That's a cover-up. Yes, they may have done actions that you view as a betrayal. Yes, they may have broken the trust between you. Yep, that may all be true. However, you're jealous because you're actually putting stock in what they're doing to equal your value. You are saying, if, you know, my spouse goes out and flirts with a waitress at a restaurant, I suck more. That's what you're doing when you go to those places like, well, I don't like that they're flirty. I don't like that they're outgoing. I don't like that I'm not the center of their damn attention. Okay, you may not like that, but as long as your focus is external on the other person and what they need to do to keep you happy, you are never going to get that focus back on yourself and say, why in the hell am I taking it to mean that if I am not the center of his or her attention, that I am of less value? What is going on with me that I would be believing that, that I would be tolerating that I would be playing this game? That's the only place true change happens. Because I'm telling you what, and here is confessions of a former jealous control freak woman, okay? If you have that jealousy bug in you, and if you have that programming that you're always seeking to be right, whether it is that you are a wonderful investigator, whether it is that you love gathering proof, it does not matter what it is or how you play it out, okay? It doesn't matter if you're brilliant at the silent treatment to make them beg for you to talk to them in the discomfort. It does not matter. If you have that within you, they can be, quote, perfect. Mm-hmm. And you will still find something to bitch about.
Yeah.
Because if that jealousy is in you, it has nothing to do with them. Nothing. And nothing that anybody can do, no matter how the illusion of perfection is displayed, will satisfy the gap in you that is saying, I do not hold my own value. I am placing all of my self-worth and value on external sources, on my spouse, on my friends, on my job, on my bank account, whatever it is. And you can't fake that. That is not anything you can fake. It's not something you can deny. It is only something you can get accountable for, take action, and make changes about. And a good example as to why this plays out is, you know, compare and compete is what are symptoms that jealousy brings up, okay? So it's actually where I know that I'm heading into the hallway. It's going to take me into the arena of jealousy. And so when compare and compete shows up, I leave. I have my own ways. I talked about it on a previous show, so I'm not going to go back into that. But what happens is, and this is how why I'm saying that there, if you've got jealousy in you, it doesn't give a shit what's going on. It doesn't matter. It's still going to find a way to be right. And so that can look like I'm worse off than you, I suck more than you, my situation is worse, and, oh, my God, look at you, you suck more than me, your situation's worse, thank God I'm not you. Either way, jealousy's running the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think when you, well, we've already said this, too, when you go into comparison, there's a jealousy component to it.
It's so true. So true. So one of the things that I talked about in the show description, man, I can feel my, I'm fighting a little bug here. I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoo, I can feel it. Okay. One of the things is that I put in the description, when jealousy takes hold of us, it can take, it completely takes over our thoughts, our emotions, our actions, and our state of being. So jealousy is one of those things that comes in, and it doesn't matter if it takes you by surprise or if it's a slow creeper or if you choose it and you dive right in, it doesn't matter. But jealousy, if you can imagine, it narrows your point of view. So just like the image for the show is a little guy looking through binoculars, okay?
Uh-huh.
What it does is jealousy means you are zoomed out, focused on the details of something else. It narrows your point of view and brings you to that singular focus where you want to be right. And that means your thoughts are all about, am I right? Am I right? Am I right? I know I'm right. I know I'm right. And you go seeking for proof. And your emotions match it about you're going to be right. Yeah, I'm right. They're wrong, by the way. So there's no opportunity for there to be any further understanding. It's already decided. You're right. They're wrong. Case closed. That's it. Okay? And then your actions are based on that. So your thoughts, your actions. I can remember when I was really having struggles with jealousy, and I was so in this horrible marriage where they knew, I mean, there was all the proof. My ex-husband cheated numerous times. I could catch him red-handed. In fact, I had a really great time. This is, let me just tell you, this is where I came from, okay? But my ex-husband, I can remember sitting around talking to my sisters, and they were like, oh, do you think he's changed? I'm like, give me 5 minutes. They're like, what? Give me 5 minutes, and I'll tell you if he changed or not. And they were like, what are you talking about? I was so freaking brilliant at finding proof of what an asshat my ex-husband was. Who was my husband at the time? And, you know, oh, actually, he was my ex at the time we did this. They were like, no, he's changed. I said, okay, I went on to a website, a dating website. I created a fake profile. I filled it in, and I broadcasted it. No shit. Within 5 minutes, I had set up this fake profile. And it was less than 20 minutes later, my sister comes running in. She'd gone in to look at the computer. She comes running in. She's like, you have a message. You have a message. I'm like, well, let's go see who it is because it's a dating site. There's hundreds of men, or if not thousands, on this dating site. I go in, I'll be damned if it isn't him. It is my ex-husband. And guess what? I was right. But you know what? It didn't feel good because I didn't give a shit anymore. But I was so good at proving I was right that I could set him up And I didn't want to set him up. I wanted to look for proof if he was still, you know, doing whatever he was doing. I didn't care if he was betraying whoever he's, you know, pretending to be faithful to. That wasn't my business. But I was so good at being right that is how quick I could set somebody up, that I knew his patterns so deeply that years after a divorce, I could do that just like that, 5 minutes, okay? So it's not about being right, because you know what? If I base my worth on whether or not he's online setting up dates, okay, my worth is not about me at all. And so when I was in that situation, my thoughts, emotions, and actions were based on that. How the hell do you think I got so good at that? I was setting him up left and right. Why? He kept taking the bait. And it was like this amazing game. It was sick and twisted. But I'm not kidding you. It's how I got a job with a private detective, actually, later on. Because it was like, yeah, I'm pretty good at that. I know it. I know how to play that game. And it didn't make me any happier to know he was being who he was. Do you know why? Because my happiness wasn't based on him. But when we're in that jealousy thing and we get that tunnel vision, we are checking, well, we're checking passwords and we're checking emails and voicemails. Where are his eyes? We're at dinner. We aren't even caring what we're shoveling in our mouth because we're watching where his eyes are at dinner. Who is he looking at? What's she doing? Who's she talking to? What's that about? And when that happens, I am telling you, people, please understand, if you think for one second that is going to get his attention or her attention, where they are going to look at you and say, wow, you know what? I want to live so that I am the light of their eye. I want to live and be outstanding. And that is what they're met with, is you are looking for them to screw up. Very, very, very rarely will they actually come around and be as fabulous as they are as a person, so that you have exactly what you're asking for. And the reason is, most people who do change their behavior in that situation, they're doing it so you will stop being mean and aggressive and jealous and sneaky and da da da. It is not about the actions. It's not about proving that. They're just trying to get out of the doghouse. They're just trying to get out of being in trouble. It's like a kid that does their homework so they can go to the dance. It's, you know, yeah. I'm going to do my homework. See, I did my homework, so I can go to the dance. Guess what? They don't have a great school ethic. They don't have a great work program. No. It's like, okay, oh, all right, I'm ungrounded. I get to go to the dance. Woo, great. But none of it is about, gosh, I give a crap about my education. None of it is based on I want to improve myself. None of it is based on I actually know that I have better value than dodging this, you know, homework assignment. And so you got to look at what's driving their behavior. If your spouse or significant other is behaving and being faithful to you because you are a freaking private investigator, they are not being faithful. They are just obeying your demand. That, on their heart level, is not faithful. That is not being true. That is not. And so just be very conscientious, very aware of what jealousy creates in us, because sometimes our behavior, our thoughts, actions, and emotions, and how we express them, what we do is we start painting a box, and that person has to live within the box. Otherwise, you're the bully. And how is it that they are able to be in their aliveness if your jealousy is dictating the constructs and where they can be confined so you won't be an asshat by being jealous? That makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You know, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I was just, you know, listening to your story and seeing from where you were years ago in that jealous greeny monster to
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
No wonder you hit the eject button, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I talk about this powerfully, people, because I was, like I said, I was so wrapped up in what my husband at the time was doing that I wasn't a nice person. I wasn't nice to myself. I wasn't nice. Who would want to come home to somebody acting like that? Literally, like,
yeah.
Why would they? You know? And mm-hmm. and so what happened is I got myself where I was like, whoa, that is an awesome distraction. Why am I thinking that would be a good thing? Oh, okay, so you came home to me because, you know, I threatened to tell your boss that you're using the work computer to look at porn. So somehow that's supposed to feel good. What the hell was I thinking, right? Like, huh? And so I did. I went through a lot of healing. I went through a lot of coaching and a lot of stuff to just look at what is this jealousy about? And I did. I know my eject button when I'm starting to go there. But the other thing that it taught me is because I was in such an intimate relationship with jealousy. I know it so well in myself that now I can spot jealousy coming a mile away. Oh, my God. I spot it in body language. I see it so clearly. And the trick is I don't just see the jealousy. I see what they're trying to avoid. It's like when you and I had our conversation we shared, and it was like, so you can talk about this jealousy? I'm not jealous. I'm just asking you questions. Okay, well, we can sit and hammer at this, you know, topic. That's fine. I don't have any problem with it. And we did eventually get to it when you were ready. It wasn't my job to make you be there. And so we did eventually get to it. How did I know that? How did I recognize it? Well, because I know when you're in your aliveness. I know when you've left mm-hmm. it also. And instead yeah. of saying, you left your aliveness because you're sulking, your body language is aggressive, and focusing on that, instead I'm like, hey, what's going on? So that we could understand what was underneath it. Because like I've said, you could focus so much on the symptoms of it that it'll distract you for days. And the truth mm-hmm. is, all you need to do is remember, you know, you're fabulous. You are amazing exactly as you are. You don't have anything to fear, and you were letting yourself get scared. You were letting yourself believe mm-hmm. you were less than. And that is not up to anybody else to address.
Right, right. And, you know, there's just so much to this, and to catch yourself when you're in it all. You know, I can so relate to, you know, the jealous. I mean, thank God I feel like I have a little bit better handle on it than I used to. But, you know, that jealousy when you know that someone's betraying you and you become the detective. I became the detective too, combing over phone records and proving my point and, you know, confronting it. But nothing ever happened, and it all comes back, you know, nothing ever, did I leave? No. Because I didn't, you know, I didn't have it in me. I wasn't ready to face into it and say, I'm done, you know. And I think that's why it's important that we go focus back internally, you know, mm-hmm. and give ourselves the attention, not look for it externally. And I think in your case you were, and once you switched that and started looking internally, you were, hey, put the brakes on. You know, I believe this week has been really enlightening and just a different viewing of how I go into it and the steps I take. And wow, this would have been a great tool to have before. And what I've used it, I'm not sure. Because, you know, I think we all go there when we're ready to see it or really face into it, you know. You know, I believe also that choosing into the attention of yourself leaves you open to vulnerability, too, because then, you know, you're giving yourself what you need. You know, as a kid, like you said, as a kid, you know, we need our basic, we have our survival instincts and we need our basic needs met. And, you know, when there's a wonkiness in that in childhood, we're seeking it outside as we grow up. And you know, going back to that the basics of your own self, my own self. I mean, this is just a really great topic. It's been really
good. It is,
good.
And I love what you said. Yeah, you kind of opened the door to what we talked about that I wanted to really go into, and that is the truth is jealousy is an adrenaline-based reaction. It has high emotional intent. It turns on your brain. It lights up your brain because your brain is being so fed by the adrenaline that it can gather data and details and all that. And it really, your actions get such a kick. Like it is such a rush when you prove you're right that jealousy is an adrenaline-based experience. It just is, okay? And you can obsess about it during the night. It'll keep you from focusing on work. You know, you'll be buying groceries and your mind will go, oh, I wonder about this. Oh, I haven't thought about tracking the mileage. Brilliant idea. Let's do that next. You know, like, oh my God. You know, like, yeah. Oh, wow. I haven't thought about running a credit report and seeing if there's new credit cards on in their name. They might be hiding it there. That's where all, like, it's so freaking stupid. But it keeps us so distracted. And here's the reason that I bring that up. If you are used to the rush of jealousy, the unbelievable, excruciating calmness of vulnerability is the last place you want to go. And that is where you got to go to stop being driven by the jealousy monster. You have to go to vulnerability. It is your way out of that adrenaline-based engagement. It's your only way out. And so if that is where you are, and you're like, oh, hell no, I'm not going into vulnerability. No, 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 no. Mm-mm. We're going to keep this about them. That's your choice, but at least admit it to yourself. At least admit that that's what it is, because the truth is, being vulnerable enough to be, you know, it doesn't matter if you're walking through the mall and you notice that your partner looks and makes eye contact with somebody else. It is a vulnerable moment to go, no, 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 no. Mm-mm-mm. I am not making it about that eye contact. Why did I just feel shame? Why did I just shrink down my aliveness? Why did I go away? Wow. Because it has nothing to do with that. And that's where the vulnerability is. That's where the truth is. That's what you're actually, you are avoiding that and you're using jealousy to do it. That's a distraction.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, and getting accountable for it. Like, okay, so I'm really great and I feel really confident. I feel really awesome, except for when X happens. Awesome. Now you know. And are you going to let X, whatever that thing is, be the thing that spirals you out of being your amazing self? Because if you are, just know that you're giving all of your power, you're gathering up your energy, and you're handing it over to that thing. That's your choice. Why are you doing that exactly? I'm not sure, but that's for you to discover. What about this is worth you disempowering yourself? What about it? There's so many people I talk to, and body image for women is a big deal. I know it is for men also, but especially for the female clients that I've talked to who will say, well, I've gained some weight, or I'm not as attractive, or I've got stretch marks, or I'm not as perky as I used to be before the kids. But, well, you know, I'm just not as attractive. And I'm like, so did you marry somebody who has the expectation of perfection? Did you marry somebody that said, okay, so here's the deal. I will marry you. I will live with you forever as long as you don't age, as long as you don't experience anything in life. You just stay exactly the way you are. Because if that's the case, they probably should have married like a mannequin, a blow-up doll, because that's not realistic. And if that's who you're in relationship with, you got to look at, why the hell are you in relationship with that? What about you thought that was a great idea? It is accountability. Accountability is the gateway, and it does require vulnerability, that willingness to get transparent with yourself, which is why we do suggest, you know, having a coach to support you through it, because just getting transparent with yourself, if you do not have support and you're in the habit of being your own bully, taking a look at yourself that way can really open you up to some self-abuse. And that's one of the reasons why I think that coaching is so important, is so you do have support on hand that is showing up, that is able to, you know, keep you in line and let you know, hey, mm-hmm. crossing a line, is that really the message you want to give?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
This is fun because I'm looking back and seeing where I was and seeing some friends. I have a couple that, you know, oh my gosh, if he would look, if there was a girl walking down the street or in the grocery store or driving by in the car, she would just, oh my gosh, what does she have that I don't have? I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so prevalent out there. And it makes me, I guess I'm a little bit sad, because when it's that blatant that their own, the self-worth is, you know, that you can choose better. You know, I don't want that to sound like a judgment, but just like, wow, I'm thinking of all these instances of some friends and even myself. Just, wow. It's a big one, that comparison.
It is. Yeah. And becoming aware of it. Like, what is it that happens? You know, how can you empower yourself so that every single choice you make, you start recognizing it, so that it's not an, oh, I'm accountable, I'm a screw up, I suck, I did wrong, shame on me. But instead it's like, oh, here comes another choice opportunity. Am I going to choose to be sparkly, shiny, or am I going to decide I suck? What's it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to choose my aliveness? Or am I going to choose to be pitiful and you know, settle for mediocrity? Oh, what is it? Am I going to get petty and ugly? Or am I going to choose kindness and love? And if we can recognize that's actually what we're doing when we go to jealousy,
yeah.
is we're making that choice, that it is so empowering to become self-aware. If I am not aware of myself, and I am focused, like the little guy, zooming way out, focused on something that is just so detail-oriented about something else or someone else or an external experience, then what we are missing is that our own experience isn't about us. We are not in control of our own happiness, our own aliveness, our own well-being, because we are gauging how we feel, how we think, and what actions we're going to choose based on the behaviors or the outcome of another situation. That is like saying, well, you know, I know that there's a show on. I watch it every single week, and I'm going to base my life and my success based on the characters of this show. I'm going to watch it every week to see how my life's going. Oh, my gosh, this character, look at that. She got an award. She got her degree. Oh, my gosh, I suck. I didn't get a degree this week. Great. Now she's better than me. Oh, look, they fell in love. Ah, that sucks. I didn't fall in love this week. Great. I suck. Does that make sense to anybody out there? Really? You're not, you know, like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that character on, you know, The Greatest Loser lost all this weight. I totally suck. Well, did you get up and go to the gym? No, I was busy watching them at the gym. What? How is this making any sense? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a big, it is, and it's, here's what is so important. This is so unique to every single individual, which is why we can't give you a blanket answer, you know? I mean, if you're competing with somebody at work because you know, 16 years ago, they went to college, they got a piece of paper with a foil sticker on it, and they hang it on their wall. What are you doing? Like, huh? You know? If that is what your worth is based on, when did you quit making your worth your priority to go, oh, wow, I value this about myself. I'm going to put that in my little, you know, bucket of worth. One of the things I value about myself is my willingness to be completely mischievous. I think it is a very high value of mine to be mischievous, to be able to sneak in, to be an instigator of play and joy and laughter. Oh my gosh. Like, yes, that needs to go on a resume. Like, if I'm trying to get a job, or if I'm trying to, you know, if I'm applying for a situation, that totally goes on that list. And yet, not everybody's going to appreciate it, but I sure do. And I'm the one who's writing my script, so I'm going to include it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I value that? How do I show my mischievousness that I value it? By not judging it and comparing it and putting it down and making its worth based on somebody else. That's how I do that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you value your body? If you get jealous of other people and you think it has to do with their attractiveness versus your attractiveness, how are you expressing value of your physicality to your physicality? With your physicality in all you do, your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, your decisions and choices. Are they feeding that value that you're like, yep, this is a priority, this is my value? Awesome, fabulous, what are you doing about it? Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah, I mean, it applies to every aspect.
It does.
Wow.
It really does apply to every aspect, and there are so many different options. And I don't know, so many possibilities of this topic to set ourselves free. And I think that's kind of part of why, for me, I'm actually kind of thankful that I'm a little bit more gentle today. I do feel softer. It is because I can tell that my body is at that point where it's either going to choose to get sick or not. And so I can feel this almost like a little bit slower pace, and there's a little bit more gentleness, and I'm just more thoughtful, and that kind of thing is going on for me. But I'm actually really great in that this is happening today as we're talking about this topic, because, like I said, jealousy is such an adrenaline-based thing, that to slow this topic down. I mean, we have gone through this topic, and some of them are like, oh my gosh, and like the unfolding of the brain is just like, you know, and the awareness that comes through is just swish, and it's been so quick. And now to be in this space today where I'm just giving myself permission to be gentle and be like, oh, they're there. Oh, I'm so afraid of my greatness. I am so scared of being fabulous. That's what I've been using jealousy to mask. That's what I've been avoiding. Just what a sweet gift to give yourself if you're willing. And if you're not willing, at least claim it. You know, Sherry, you and I talk about this. And I think you're in the beginning, I was like, huh? Like, if you're going to be a dick, be a dick. Like, don't pretend you're being nice when really you know that underneath you're being a dick. Like, that's kind of our joke is, you know, just be who you are. And so I love it. Like, I don't know. We've had times where we just turned each other and go, I'm going to be pitiful right now. Oh, okay.
Yep.
I need to be really catty. Oh, all right. You're in it? Oh, yeah, I'm going to choose to be totally catty about this one. Got it. Okay.
Well, you know, and just think of the charge that it takes out of things when you do that. You know, I don't overfix. oh, I feel really bad today. I don't try and mother hen you. Or, you know, it's just that sense of, hey, this is what's going on for me today, okay? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just takes the charge out of everything. It just takes the, you know, there's an energetic vibration to everything that we do. And words, you know, energy follows words. Energy follows thoughts. And, you know, it's how you, when you say something, when I say something, there's energy behind it. You know, you can tell. When I have something important to say, I talk faster. I'm very clear and laser. By gosh, don't throw me off of here. This is what, and there's a lot of energy behind that. And
yeah.
I just think it's a good idea if you have that awareness. Okay, this is how I am today. End of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. This is me.
Boom. Well, it does take the charge out of it, you know, and it's also really good when we're talking about jealousy to be able to say, oh, wow, I feel jealous. And mm-hmm. you say it as ownership, as it's yours. You chose it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to engage or not? Not the other person's business. They don't have to jockey. They don't have to do anything to try to manage your jealousy. Instead, it's just, whoo, I felt jealous.
Ooh.
That felt like jealous to me. Wow. That's a surprise. What do I want to do about that? And it's yours. You get to address it. You get to handle it. You get to decide
mm-hmm.
what you're going to do with it. Are you going to stay in it or are you going to get out? Right. Because it's not about whatever it is that triggered your jealousy. It's like, why? Why are you, why is that going on? Because I will be totally, totally honest. I think there are times when, and I know I've been out to, you know, at a gig with you, and Sherry's got her groove on, and she is the rock star. She is amazing. She's in her aliveness. She is attractive. She's vibed. Her vitality is just oozing from her. There's a sensuality. There's sexuality. There's aliveness. She's just intoxicating. And she will just be in her sweet place where the music's flowing, she's engaged with the audience, all of it. And I've had people say, oh, she's so hot, da, da, da. Oh, sorry, does that bother you? I'm like, hell no, that doesn't bother me at all. I know, I think she's attractive. Why would I be bugged if you think she's attractive? Like, that doesn't bother me at all. And that is really important when we get to that space where we can go, yeah, the fact that somebody else on the planet finds you attractive does not mean anything about if I find you attractive. It doesn't mean that I'm even threatened by it unless I decide to give my power away to the fact that they might be a threat to my connection with you.
Right.
And so there's a big difference in it. And when people work to try to make somebody jealous, let's just talk about that flip side for a minute. And you're trying to make somebody jealous, so they'll come crawling back and beg you to please, please don't go somewhere else. Da, 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 da. If somebody's doing that, you need to look at that also.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody is doing something deliberately to make you feel insecure so that you will behave, the person who has a dynamic where they're allowing themselves to be played like a puppet like that, you need to pay attention to that. Definitely pay attention.
Pay attention.
Yeah. And decide if that is a dynamic you want to be in. Because if somebody needs to use manipulation or coercion or, you know, whatever, to get your attention, and they're doing it on purpose, you got to, what's off there? Why is that where they get their value? Why is that going on for them? Because there's a sense of real empowerment when you give somebody that power, like, oh, okay, well, I can be in my own lane. I can be doing my business. I can be working. I can be doing whatever it is that's going on in my life. But if you manipulate me, I will give you all my time and attention and focus. That just makes you a puppet. That's like Pavlov's dog. They got you trained. And that's giving your power away.
Totally.
And so if you are naturally, authentically attracted and you go, whoa, every time you walk through a room, I'm totally distracted because I just find you so mesmerizing. That's different than what I'm talking about. Did you have a question?
No, I can relate to this. I'm just saying.
I can relate to it too. Yeah, we need to be aware. So take the binoculars off your face. Stop looking at everybody else. Go inside, gently inside. What is there? What is there for you to experience? What's going on that you're like, okay. How am I doing? Am I keeping my love bucket full? Am I feeling loved by me? Am I feeling content with me? Am I feeling like there's gentleness and, you know, comfort and compassion from me, for me? What's going on with you? Because that's what we got to do is be present with ourselves instead of focusing out to look at them over there that you can focus on. What about you over here? What's going on with me? You know, when you're pointing at somebody, just drop your hand and put it on your heart. It's not about them. It's about you. What's going on here? What's going on with me? That's where you're going to find your power, because it's where you get to make choices. What's going on with me is I feel crappy. We, in fact, one of the biggest things that we had is what looked like we've had a dynamic where what it looked like was jealousy, but actually what was going on was physical weakness and illness. But it was being expressed in, I feel weak, I feel less than, I don't feel good. And instead of saying, I feel weak, I feel less than, I don't feel good, it was, why are you not giving me attention? Why don't you make me feel better? Well, I feel insecure, so I'm gonna make you come here and give me attention so I feel secure. Instead, the power in that, as we learned, is, dude, I don't feel good. Like, babe, I got to tell you, I'm off. I do not feel good. I know I'm fighting something off. I'm going to go lay down. And I'm not going to make it a shame on me that I don't go to the store with you. I'm not going to make it that I'm not, you know, I'm not helping enough with laundry or whatever it. Ooh, I got to take care of me.
Right.
And when we own that, we don't have any behaviors that come out wonky, come out sideways, that we have to apologize for later. We just get to say, thanks for understanding that I feel horrible this week. I don't feel good. I don't know what's going on. You know, I've got this cold or I got a stomach bug or whatever it is. But what the truth is, I just don't feel good. I'm not going to pick at your behavior. I'm not going to try and make you bad or wrong or make you fix it or whatever. It's just I'm going to own the situation. I'm going to be accountable. And instead of misbehaving, quote, all of my insecurities about not feeling good, I'm not going to project all of my not feeling good through bad behavior at you to make you feel bad. Instead, I'm just going to back up. I'm going to be with me. I'm going to let you know what's going on with me. And I'm going to be accountable for it. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to address it.
Mm-hmm. That's such a much gentler way.
It
in
is.
All aspects.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, imagine how easy it would be and how much it could really change your parenting style. If instead of punishing the behavior of a child, you got the child so keenly aware of themselves and what's triggering behaviors that instead they just came in, you know, came into you and said, Mom, I got really jealous at school today And so I'm going to go in and I'm going to be really kind with myself so that I don't take the actions that jealousy wants me to take out on the family. So will you let me know when dinner is? Because I'm going to take a time out with myself and I'm going to go write in my journal or I'm going to color or whatever it is. And I'm just going to, I'm going to go fill my own bucket up because I kind of got wonky today at school. I mean, think about how freaking cool that would be at home.
That would be awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really would be awesome. And when we know our core values, when we know, like, what matters to us, to me, I know my core values, and I know what really matters. And if those things aren't present, I know something's off. I know it before the actions come up. I know it when the emotions and the feelings come up. And if we can have that in our self-awareness so that we can be like, hey, guess what? I'm off. I'm not in my core values. My core values, I dimmed the lights on them, kind of. I'm going to check in with myself. Instead of requiring the adrenaline of a blow-up of some kind or some kind of, you know, huge explosion or drama or adrenaline somewhere to make a change, just imagine how much less drama there would be in our lives if we allowed ourselves to do it in a gentle, accountable way. It is a beautiful awareness if we will really make space for it. But we got to be vulnerable with ourselves and get to know ourselves.
So true.
Mm-hmm. So true. Oh my gosh, how funny! I have so many messages coming in. I haven't been paying attention to. Hi.
Hello.
I know, been in the show, been in the content. No, the messages that I have, one was earlier, probably about 20 minutes into the show, just a great awareness, appreciation. Another one, there's a question, it looks like I answered it somewhere along the way. Oh, never mind, you just answered it. I'm like, oh, okay, I did it accidentally.
I love that. You kind of do that, Jen.
Yeah. It accidentally happens quite often. So the only thing we haven't addressed is the shame piece. Somebody said, I know my jealousy is based on shame. I have shame because I do not believe that I am worthy of love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What can I do? Hire a coach. I am a smart ass. But literally,
yeah. Line up with Jen.com.
Right? Yeah. Dot me. Jen Halterman, dot me.
Got me.
here's what I have to say, and I know I'm just a smart ass. So here's what I actually have to say about that is, what are you doing to address your shame? Are you keeping it hidden? Are you keeping it secret? Put words around it. Address it, not in furthering the shame process. For example, do not go tell your shame stories and then have it end there. That's not what does it. But actually, what is the shame holding in place? And are you ready to let it go? And what actions can you take? What emotions, thoughts, actions can be addressed to set it free so that it can stop driving your life? I do believe that if you're doing true shame work, you need support. You need a person to support. If you're not willing to get support, go read Brené Brown's books. Gifts of Imperfection, Daring Greatly, Rising Strong, in that order. No excuses, just go do it, read them. At least there's some place to start. If you're not willing to do your work, if you're not willing to do your work with a witness yet and you just want to start tiptoeing in, get the books and start reading them. Journal, write stuff out. At least get it out of you, even if you don't share it with anybody else. But that's what I would say the beginning steps are. Beyond that, contact me and we'll have a conversation. Even if I'm not a match for you, I'll refer you to somebody else at least who does real shame work, not shame work as in hold it in place or pretend it doesn't exist and kumbaya over the top of it so that, you know, you pretend the flowers don't smell like the shit pile they're planted in, but at least do some work so that you clear it. Know what? I'm not going to apologize for being who I am because this is what it is like to work with me. I do use Yeah, that's me. No apologies.
So true.
It is so true. Oh, my gosh, Sherry, guess what? We're almost to the end of the show, and I got to tell you, I think I'm going to take a nap. Oof-ta.
Good, I think that's
it's
a great idea.
It's actually not even that my body is physically tired, but my head needs to lay down. I think that congestion in my head is worse, so. I'm not happy about it.
I bet not.
Well, yeah.
Like you said, don't compare yourself to anybody. Just go do it.
Yep. Well, that's there's no option at this point. I'm definitely going to go do it. Well, to those of you who have been along this ride, thank you for being brave and courageous and showing up and addressing the jealousy monster. This has been a big string of shows. Sherry, you were so brave and just totally used your courageous actions to dive into the topic when it presented itself, and I appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was I appreciate you going there with me and holding that space for me to come out on the other side. I feel totally different than I did on Friday when you asked me that question. And it, you know, I've rumbled through it all week long, and I just appreciate the shows that you've had on and the continued conversation and the people that have showed up on the shows to support this topic and go deeper into it. So thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're welcome. I thank you to all of the listeners, all of the messages, all those who called in, joined me on the air, joined Sherry and I on the air. It is such a gift when we can share and not, you know, not hold stuff in the secrets of shame. It doesn't serve. And so if we can have these conversations and say, oh yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not ashamed of my behavior. I did what I did to survive when I was married and, you know, all of that. Man, that was survival at its best. And, you know, if I did not know that ugly side of me, that I do think it was ugly. I was very, very harsh, very terrified, very hard on myself and locked in my own perfectionism prison. I would not know how far I've come and how much I've set myself free. And so I don't think of that with shame. I go, wow, that was where I was then. I am a totally different person. Not even in the slightest same ballpark of where I was. But because I know I can go there, I recognize how far I've come. I recognize the contrast of how I used to live and how I live now, how I choose to live. And that's why I encourage you so strongly to start being at choice. Be accountable for your life by choosing consciously. And if something doesn't work out, great. Take the feedback. Oh, I made this choice. This was the outcome. What changes do I want to make? And take another action. Don't go into beat up. It doesn't serve. Just you're going to make another action, you know, another choice. And you are the creator of your life. And that's the invitation overall that this has to do with is just be you. But own it that you're being you. And if you're a hot mess, own that you're a hot mess. Great. But don't make it about somebody else. Own it so you can address it. Because that way, when you make a change, it isn't in anybody else's hands. It's in your hands. So that's it. That's a wrap for today. Thank you for being on the show, Sherry.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
All right, everybody. Yeah, have a wonderful day. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.